I met her and she was like, you're so passionate. You should teach Pilates.
The most challenging thing, it's that balance between mm-hmm. work and a baby, family yeah. life.
I believed in my idea and my vision so much that I had, mm-hmm. I had no fear
yeah.
until the wheels started rolling. Oh yeah. Girls are going to love this shit.
Why did you feel that pressure? Okay, Shannon Nash, welcome to the building.
You said my name right. I love it.
Yeah. I had to make sure I said it right before the interview.
I appreciate that. Everyone yeah. butchers it. It's fine.
Well, somewhere I read that you are proud Canadian.
Yes.
You're a social media celebrity.
Oh, am I?
The most gorgeous, sexy trainer.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Owner of the Hot Pilates. And mom to a beautiful baby boy.
Yes.
Kai.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What an intro.
Well, welcome. Okay. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
It's an honor to be here. It's been a long time.
A long time yeah. before the baby, huh?
Pre-baby.
Yeah, my baby.
Well, your baby. You just had
yeah.
your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, here we are.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
I joined the mommy club.
How old is Kaina?
He is going to be 2 in December. So he's...
Gee, it's 2 in December too.
Wait, what? December 10th.
December 20.
I saw delicious.
Yeah.
He's big.
She's big.
She's big.
Very big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's tall.
Tall.
I'm like, she.
She he.
Kai is so
she
cute.
Has no hair.
With his hair. He has all the hair. So he thinks everyone thinks he's a boy. I mean yeah. a girl.
Same with my boy. He has yeah. curly blonde, crazy hair. Everyone yeah. thinks it's a girl. I'm like, no, it's a boy. Yeah.
He has like a she's white so afro. Cute. It's so cute. Her oh baby.
You saw him at Rocky's house for Janice.
Oh my God, yes, that's where I was obsessed yeah. with him.
Yeah, it was so cute. I mean, so cute. They're just
how
adorable.
Wait, how old is he?
He's 2 and 2 months.
2 and 2 months.
It's like all
they're all the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must have been like something in the water. Yeah,
well, you know, I have 2 babies, right?
Yeah, because your daughter is like older.
Like 4, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. not older women.
But so that's where I met you. I met you at yeah. Brentwood Studio.
Wait, that's opening. Crazy that she's 4 now.
Yeah.
Because you just had her.
So that was... She was born in the COVID hit, and when you opened your studio, mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, COVID hit, and you had to close it up, right?
Yeah. That must have been crazy having your baby during COVID.
It was the best
age.
Thing that ever happened to me.
I agree. Actually, I believe that, because you had to spend so much time mm-hmm. with them.
There was no partying. There was no event.
No FOMO.
There was no yeah. FOMO. My husband, he was doing, selling a lot of weed, you know, legally, obviously. I don't want anyone to, I don't want anyone to think.
Like he's a drug dealer.
He's a drug dealer. No. He has a...
dispensary?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Illegal. But yeah, it was the best thing because he was working, coming yeah. back home. We were making, you know, homemade
that's
pizza
amazing.
And everything. Yeah.
No, I think honestly, a lot of parents that had like a new baby or newborn say it was like the most rewarding time because mm-hmm. they were just home.
Connecting with the
connecting,
baby.
Connecting,
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can just like rest. Not rest because obviously COVID was so stressful for a lot of people, mm-hmm. everybody and ups and downs. But you can actually like be present mm-hmm, as much as you can, you know, during that time. It's totally. So important.
Present and you didn't have to work out too much. Yeah. You didn't really care how you look. So it was...
I feel like everybody was working out though during COVID.
They
lots of home workouts. Like we would work out at home on TV, put like workout videos and just like...
Yeah.
Just to not go crazy. But but no one had FOMO and having baby that time was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it.
Well, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about yourself. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in LA and started your business. So kind of like all about that.
I love that question. So I'm from Toronto. Originally, we established that. And I just want to get out of the cold.
Oh, like, I hear you.
From Russia, you know.
Before
it's not
you,
the same as you.
Yeah. Same conversation. I did not want to be on a cold ever again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also like multiple reasons too. Like I wanted to just like... grow in my, you know, whatever it meant, like in the industry that I was in. And I wanted to pursue a career in fashion. So I originally wanted to move to New York. That didn't happen. I got recruited by the owner of American Apparel.
Yeah.
Are you familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That. It was a great company. It completely went bankrupt. I don't know why.
So the owner, I met him at a trade show. I was like modeling for like a company and And he recruited me to come to LA, check out the factory, see if it was something like there was like an organic fusion there. And I mean, I got here and I just never left, basically. So that's how I got here.
So you're a model.
I wasn't a model. I was like doing like a modeling gig for like a clothing company, you know. So
was it more like sporty stuff?
Yeah, like streetwear. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so athleisure kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I was at a trade show in San Diego. It's called ASR. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's like the skateboarding kind of like streetwear. Yeah. Okay. Like, no.
I'm like, I don't know.
Is this still a thing? I don't even know if it's still a thing anymore.
A Chanel?
I know. You're so bougie.
Gucci?
Yeah. Like Paris Fashion Week? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's right, show.
I'm like in the streets, okay, girl. I'm in the streets. So I was like tearing down a booth and I was like, I was hustling, you know, cute. So he's like, oh my God, you're a hard worker and you're cute. Do you want to come come check out the factory in LA? So I like literally went to LA, went downtown. Now downtown's cool. Like downtown has like a vibe. In 2004, it was like the hood. Like it wasn't like, there wasn't no like LA Live. There wasn't like stores and like residents. It was like
not raves. Was there raves already?
I think there's always raves there. Okay, yeah. Nice. I'm sure there was probably a rave in our warehouse like every night.
That's the only time I went there.
You still go to raves.
Listen to Dixon. Oh, that was like 10 years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're like old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they still do that. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
I should go tonight.
So I know tonight. Throw the kids into the room. So then I started working for them. I was working for them for like 10 years. But I always had like entrepreneurial like itch in me. Like I was running his retail stores. I was traveling everywhere all over the world for him. And I loved it. But then I started to really feel like I wanted to like do something for myself. I knew how much work I was putting into his company. And I love it and I appreciate it. I learned so much. I was pretty much working like for myself but for him. And I was like, I need to start building my own brand, you know?
Yeah.
And I fell in love with Pilates just as a workout. You know, I was doing Mari Windsor's Pilates videos. Do you know who that is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you guys are way too young. And you're also like from Russia. So.
You're like, sorry, you guys.
You're not from America.
You can relate.
She's like the queen of Pilates. She's like the OG. She was training like Miley Cyrus, like Cindy Crawford, like all the original like Pilates queens. So she was like the first kind of celebrity Pilates instructor. And she was my mentor. Like I used to do her workout videos. I met her at Equinox. She was teaching there. And so I met her and she was like, you're so passionate. You should teach Pilates. And I was like, no, I'm in fashion. Like I want to pursue a career. But then like after a few years, I realized like I didn't love it either. Like there wasn't so much for me to grow either. And, you know, I just wanted to do something that I love every day. And I love helping people. So I reached out to her. She remembered who I was. And I just went under her wing. So
were you always fit though and into fitness at that point?
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. My sister and I played sports like our whole life. Mm-hmm. So in Toronto where we're from, or Windsor where we're born, we played like every sport. My parents, my poor parents, they drove us to like soccer, track, basketball, volleyball. I used to figure skate. Yeah. So definitely a lot of my muscle memory and like my competitive spirit comes from like, you know, being athletic when I was younger, for sure. Yeah.
And then like, okay, that's how you started. And then how, what was that turning point when you decided to open your own studio? And what was like the challenging part of it?
Okay, so many. I love that question. The turning point for me was when I was studying Pilates. I studied in New York at one of the most like exclusive Pilates schools. It's actually like if you were to, okay, so there's Joseph Pilates, right? That's, he owns Pilates. He's like the Pilates guru, the king of Pilates. Then his protege was Ramana. She was a ballet dancer. So I went to her school. Mm-hmm. So you can't like, you can't get like any more like closer to
Pilates god.
The god of Pilates. Not even king, the god of Pilates. That's, I love that.
Good one, Ginter.
That was a good one. Why would you use that one? Right? It is. So like, you know, the integrity of the work is so important to me. However, the studios that were teaching Pilates were not like, they didn't feel luxurious. They didn't feel, I didn't feel excited going there. Like, I like a whole experience. Like when you walk into here, like, you know,
like the vibe,
the vibe, music, maybe like the staff, the instructors, just like the energy, but I knew like just how beneficial the workout was. So what inspired me to open the studio was to create the same workout method, but in a more modern contemporary environment. And then I added the heat element because I like to sweat. Nice. I want to feel my heart rate move. And, you know, so when you're doing mat Pilates or reformer Pilates, it's an amazing workout. But oftentimes I feel like I have to go and do like cardio before or after, or like I want to do something to intensify.
To get the blood going, right?
Yeah, so the blood going. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, if I add the heat to the method, you're getting two, you know? So that's what inspired me to open the studio, is to create.
So that's something different.
It's something different. Being, mm-hmm. Sticking to the integrity of the work was important to me, but adding the heat and adding like the more modern studio, you know? So, and also too, having it be more accessible to people, because Pilates is now like obviously like having its like huge moment right now. Like I'm so happy. Like it's everywhere. But like 10 years ago, like people didn't know what Pilates was. Like yoga was big then. Pilates was like, people couldn't even pronounce it.
They're way
like,
later. Yeah.
So I wanted to. So I wanted to create something where it was more accessible to anyone that wanted to try something new. Because it's intimidating.
Did you have a partner? So how did you have balls to kind of just go and open up studios?
Like what year was it when you opened?
So I opened in 2014.
What?
So it's my 9th year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Actually, my anniversary is in 10 days.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Congratulations.
So, that's huge. Ladies. Thank you. Yeah. You think it's overnight, right? But
so that was my next question. I'm like, you grew overnight, but you obviously didn't.
People think that. Like a lot of brands and people that are super like successful, like you think it happens overnight, but they've been working so hard. Like, you know. So I opened in 2014. What was the other question?
What was like the challenging part? Did you have like partners?
Yes, I do.
And how did you have balls to open it? Like, okay, I'm going to open this
series,
like invest money, you know?
I'll say one thing. When I came up with the concept, I was like, oh, there's no going back. I was like, when I thought of the concept and I was testing out the workouts in the Equinox steam room, I was going to like do like, like my Pilates in the steam room. And I was like, oh yeah. Girls are going to love this shit.
because when you drench and you work out, you come out with like muscles already.
Yes,
you know?
You're like squeezing it out. Yeah, like I have abs after one class, you know?
This was so worth it.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this is going to be, I was like, I believed in my idea and my vision so much that I had no fear until the wheels started rolling and I had to like raise funds and find a partner. So actually my ex-boyfriend at the time, I was probably getting on his nerves. So he's like, do something with your life. So he actually helped me, you know, with my business plan, and he invested into me.
That's nice.
It was so nice of him. You know, back in 2013, that's when we started raising the money for it. A little bit gets you a long ways, you know?
Yeah.
Now, whatever he invested, I'd be like, okay, that's going to pay for like the carpet. I mean, the floors. So I was a hustler. You know, I was like, I'm going to make this happen no matter what. You know, so that part was scary. When I knew I had other people invest in me, that I had to like, I couldn't fail. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, I owe this person
they
money.
They hold you accountable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I was responsible and I was respecting like their investment into me. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, okay, I can't fuck this up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, so that was in 2013. So I have a partner and we're still partners.
And you're still good? Like you still like each other? Because I know a lot of partners go like, wow.
We like each other. You know, it's funny. All my exes I'm cool with. I never have like a bad.
You're that kind of person.
You're very lucky.
I mean, you know? I think it's a choice. You make it that way, you know, and like time heals too. So I mean, it's so cliche, but like, things didn't always end up the way you thought they were going to, but it never does. Mm-hmm. But also like, I'm so grateful. Like, bless him if he watches this podcast. Love you. But so glad like we're best friends and we're partners and we're not dating anymore.
So your ex-boyfriend is still your partner.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. And so how many studios do you have now?
Right now, we just have the West Hollywood location.
West Hollywood.
We closed Brentwood. Right before pandemic, we had New York opening up in Flatiron. Mm-hmm. We have a huge following in New York. So we had Flatiron on 21st Street, like literally was about to sign the dotted line. It was my birthday weekend and I was like...
Hangover?
I was just partying, okay. You know? And it was like, I went from New York. I was there to mm-hmm. like literally do my last walkthrough. And I flew to Miami and, you know, I took, well, you know, my best friend who also works with me. We're like, all right, let's go to Miami for like 2 days. And so it was like those 2 days I went to Miami. It was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. And I didn't sign yet. My gut was like, just hold off for a second. Because usually I'm like, I'm on. Like, yeah. If I want something, like, I'm going to go and get it. So, flew to Miami. We fly back to LA. Now it's like February, like, I don't know, like 14, 15th-ish. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a lot of weird, you know, like texts and emails from all kinds of friends that kind of knew like things were going to shut down soon. Like some of my friends were already at Target buying out the stores. I'm like, you guys are weird. Like If anything happens, we're closing for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I didn't think it was going to be like 2 years. So then I was like, all right, let me hold off on signing this lease. It's following my intuition. And then, yeah, it was like March. Whatever.
Yeah, the COVID was March.
Yeah. So I didn't sign. Thank God. I would have been stuck in a 10-year lease in New York.
What?
Yeah.
10?
I'm so lucky. Wow. Yeah.
You're God. Yeah. You listen to it.
Yeah. That's important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do, like now I'm revisiting New York. So we have West Hollywood. We're looking into New York. Not looking. We're doing New York. Mm-hmm. Like manifest that shit. And we launched online during COVID.
Online is great.
So, yeah. So smart.
And it's something that I've always wanted to do. But I was prioritizing my brick and mortar studios. Like I was prioritizing like expanding New York, Toronto, Miami were the next three. And so I put online off because there's so many other girls that do online. They're all my friends. Like,
yeah.
I love like Melissa Wood and like all mm-hmm. those girls are such bosses. And I was like, why do I need to do online? Everyone's already like they got that covered, you know?
Yeah, but your thing is a little bit different.
It is. You know? So then during COVID, I was doing the IG workouts. Mm-hmm. We just do IG lives for free because I was like, let me just.
I did them with you, right off my pregnancy, yeah.
On the IG? Uh-huh. No, because you're like at home.
Yeah.
Bored. Yeah. Not bored, but at home.
I mean.
So we launched like IG live schedule and we're just giving back to the community. We just want people to keep moving and stay healthy. Yeah. And then that obviously like rolled into doing online, you know, and then we just kept it going. So it's actually like a gift and a curse. Like COVID helped us, you know, pressure us to mm-hmm. move forward and prioritize online when it wasn't really my priority.
You were really happy you did it.
I'm so glad. Yeah. I probably would have never done it.
Yeah.
You know, because
your videos
just so,
is cute. They're always like outside, right?
Pardon me?
Your videos are outside. Mostly.
Some of them are. Yeah. If I'm in different locations, like when I travel.
Yeah, you do like different locations.
I do like Malibu or different locations. Yeah. But mostly it's in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clearly, you haven't watched them.
Haven't.
It's okay. Right. Everyone's back outside now. Like, honestly. It's like the online workout.
I have two kids.
I feel you. If I'm not teaching a class, honestly, I'm not really working out these days. It's really hard.
Well, it's hard.
You do.
I'm wearing black. It's helping.
So, let's kind of talk about now. So, I was following. So, we met and then mm-hmm. COVID hit. And then I moved out.
Yeah.
But I was following you, obviously.
You moved to Miami, right?
I moved to Miami. Yeah. Now I moved to Aspen.
Okay.
So we're like in a wild mountains.
I love that. That's incredible. Yeah. That's
it's
a dream.
It's amazing for kids, you know?
That's a
when
dream.
They're little, I don't have to go out. Same thing. I don't have FOMO. We didn't have to go anywhere. So I prefer it for now. What's going to be in the future? I don't know. So I was following you. And then from one day to another, you're like, this big, hot Pilates girl, really successful, teaching classes every day, right? Mm-hmm. Working hard on your business. And then from one day to another, you moved to Chicago.
Chicago, yes.
And what happened? Like, tell us a little bit about that situation and what it was for you. How did you make that move?
Yeah.
You know, kind of like leaving your business here and moving to Chicago for someone, having a baby.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about like that move.
Yeah.
What did it take you?
That's a great question. Obviously, it was a super, not difficult, but it was a big decision to make.
Yeah.
You know, and I would do, and the same as you and you, your parents and your mothers, I would do anything for my family.
Yeah.
You know, family, my baby are my priority, you know? So it was definitely a scary move, but knowing that in my heart, I'm committed to my family, I felt okay about that. And, you know, I was like, all right, it's a new chapter. Like I worked my whole life. I hustled. The business was obviously like in a state of, it was just growing. And I love working. Like,
that's, I know you do.
It's passionate. I'm super passionate about the studio and my community, you know? So moving was definitely very difficult, but I felt super at ease because I'm like, all right, this is what I always wanted. I wanted a family. I want to be an amazing mother. You know, I was in love. So it was just like, I felt super confident and safe with that decision. The working side, you know, obviously once I got to Chicago and being a new mom with a newborn, I was like, I definitely felt like not like myself. You know, the changes that you go through when you have a baby obviously are unexplainable with your hormones. And then being away from my regular routine
and my work
is like, you know, I built my brand with like my heart and soul, you know? So just like that sudden change was difficult, you know? But how I got through it, you know, I have a very supportive team. It took me 9 years to build my team, not overnight. And I trust them, you know, like I trust them as much as I can with how they're going to deliver my message. And I knew they're going to obviously hold me down and work hard. No one's going to be you in your business. You know, like no one's going to run your company the way you have your vision and the way you're going to, you know, commit to it. But I have an amazing team that I've worked with for a long time. My two girls, especially, like they've been, you know, with me for many years. So I learned how to like trust and delegate to them and manage them.
You feel
them
it was fine for your business in the long term?
You know, it's funny you say that. There's definitely been some struggles and some downfalls for sure as far as the business goes. Like, you know, my teachers, for example, like I think a lot of, you know, a big reason why they like to teach there is like, I'm an instructor as well. We learn from each other, or they learn from me, or I keep them inspired. So I think keeping my team inspired was very challenging because I'm not physically there. I can call, I can FaceTime you all day, but you know, you lose inspiration. Mm-hmm. There's an energy that I bring to the studio. Like
you bring amazing energy and you bring like really amazing clients too. And you're always like, hey, come on, let's go. Like, let's do it.
What so, am I like, girl?
That's how you are. And
I love that.
I feel like that's how I see you.
You're
anyways.
So cute. I love
but
it.
But you not being there, I imagine it kind of took a little bit toll on your business.
100%.
I mean, I didn't check on like the business thing, anything, but I feel like maybe it was a little bit hard.
No, for sure. My team did an incredible job continuing and maintaining a positive, fun environment and energy. But yeah, no one's going to be me. You know what I mean? And my clientele, like, you know, I train a lot of private clients. You know, I didn't see them for a year or 2 years, you know, and literally the second I moved back to LA, my phone was like, so it's like,
nice, good for you.
It's like, you're like, okay, this is the place I got to be, right?
Yeah, no, honestly, like I was so grateful for my clients. Like they're, it's not about loyalty because everyone likes to float around. Like I go to like, you know, three different people for three different services, you know, like it is what it is, you know, but I missed it. I missed working. Like I love to stay busy. Obviously Kai keeps me busy all day, but you know, there's like a passion that burns inside of you. And like when you're not expressing it, it can weigh on you.
So can I ask you like about the balance? Like that's the thing. I think it's for me as well as a mom, it's the most challenging thing. It's that balance between work and a baby, family life. It's like, how do you find it in your life?
Still trying to figure it out. I think it changes all the time and being okay to be adaptable to change, you know, so and not being obviously like, okay, one thing I've learned is managing my time better. Like you have no choice. Like it's like
you have to schedule it better
as much as you can.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try to create like most of my important work calls and meetings and teaching like in the mornings. Like early morning is me and Kai's moment. Like I love my like when we wake up until like around 10, it's him and I. We have our like our little flow, and then from 10 till like 1, I try to get everything in. Like now I'm like productive. Like I was always productive, but now I'm like, we got 4 hours to bang out like 6 meetings, you know? Nice. And so.
Do you still teach?
Yeah. Nice. I taught today. Should have came.
Oh my God. We had time in the morning. We really wanted to work off.
Okay, next week. We'll figure it out.
I'm leaving tomorrow to Aspen, but I'll be back.
I'm going to have to come.
I'll come to Aspen.
Yeah, come to Aspen.
Take me to Aspen with
you. Teach me there.
You should open a sauna. Hot Pilates in Aspen.
Is it fun all year long?
Oh my God, Pilates is so bad in Aspen. It's crazy.
No way.
You could even start with pop-up during Christmas or something.
Yeah,
I should do a pop-up.
Yeah. It's so busy there during Christmas.
So busy. And it's like
festivals.
It's like old, like, moms who want to do Pilates, you know?
Yeah.
The lines is like out of the door. It's crazy.
Really,
it's
for so Pilates? Mm-hmm. What studios are out there? We can talk after.
There is a few studios. One of them is good and rest of them is terrible. Okay. But
your balancing time is like, it's always changing, as you know, like with you're traveling a lot and your kids are growing so quickly. And I think finding that balance is managing your time better.
Yeah.
You know, and prioritizing. Like,
that's good advice.
Now, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm learning still, but also prioritizing. If something is not resonating and it's not important or a priority, I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not committed. I say no.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Appreciate that. You. No, but it's like, I know like my son's my priority, my work, communicating with my team, and then that's it. And obviously my self-care and my health too. So if something doesn't really serve me, it no longer exists.
So now you're back to LA, right?
I'm back, girl.
You're back in LA.
I'm so inspired.
You're ready to go.
I'm ready. Yeah.
I'm so happy.
It takes time. Like when you have a baby, everyone always told me this. And my sister, she's like, give yourself 18 months to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like literally a like clockwork. Like when it was like 18 months or like 2 months, 18 months, like now, I feel like you're never yourself again fully. Like I'm not that girl anymore, but like I feel
like yourself again.
Yeah, like I
that's
feel like
exactly what I said a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, because you're 2 years and 2 months, right? Yeah. So something just like a weight lifted. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know what it is, and it's not a negative thing, but I finally feel like maybe the hormones are regulated.
You just come back to yourself.
I feel like myself. Like, yeah.
Did you have any postpartum depressions or anything?
It's funny you say that. I think when you're in it, you don't know it,
and then you know it when you 18 months.
When I read more about it,
because
when I was in it, I was like, I think a lot of moms go through the same thing. Like, you feel guilty for being sad, you know, because you have this bundle of joy and he's everything I've ever dreamed of. And then it's overwhelming, you know. I had a very supportive partner, so that helped a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I think for sure I had windows of postpartum depression for sure. I think I didn't give myself the grace to kind of rest after. And like take that time to like recover. Like I wanted to do it all. So I had Kai December 10th. I was like climbing this ladder to like decorate the Christmas tree. Like, I was like, I wanted to like make sure the house is always perfect. And like, I was
why
like,
did you feel that pressure?
That's a great question. I think, you know, I read a little bit about this too. Like, it's like a syndrome that mothers have like after, like you want to be like this perfect mom, this perfect person. Mm-hmm. And I want to be perfect for like the people around me, like I can do it all, you know? And it was like, maybe that's something I need to discover, you know, dig deeper. Yeah,
true. So after you're like, let's say you have second kid, or maybe you're not planning to have a second kid.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rest much longer? What can, 100%. What advice can you give? Yeah.
My advice to give is to, I think, clearly communicate your needs, you know, in a positive way to whoever you're with or your partner. So like, you know, I wish I would have been more in tune with, you know, I'm pretty in tune with my body. My whole pregnancy, like intuitive, like thinking about everything. And
you
like,
were so gorgeous pregnant. I remember you posting Malibu, like your hair.
You're so
like
sweet.
The ocean, this like beautiful baby.
Thank you.
Belly.
It was a big belly.
The baby was in the belly. the baby was in the belly.
Yeah. I love being pregnant. Yeah. And I really listened to myself during that 10 months of being pregnant. Something shifted when I had the baby. I didn't feel as, I was intuitive, but I was fighting myself a little bit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why.
It was oxytocin.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when you're pregnant, you have a lot of it. Mm. And then, you know, you deliver the baby and it just all goes and it's all about the baby. So take care of yourself more, you would say.
Yeah. I definitely would tell mothers to like rest more for sure. Rest and,
not feel pressure.
And don't feel so pressure. Don't feel so hard on yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, just take care of yourself too. If you can take care of yourself, you can't take care of the baby, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us a little bit about workout routine when you're pregnant, after, obviously, not rush too much into it, right? Mm-hmm. But tell us what you did, how to not let yourself go too much, you know?
Right, during pregnancy.
During pregnancy and also after pregnancy, but you can start with pregnancy.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think during the pregnancy, this is my journey too. It's like everyone else has their own journey. I've lived, and you're both obviously, like, you take care of yourselves, you look super healthy. But there was a point where, like, I wouldn't say I was obsessed, but, like, if I had, like, a drink or if I had, like, something bad that I ate, I would go on, like, a cleanse. Like, I was very, like, very hardcore, very strict with my diet. And I never, and I enjoyed healthy food, but, like, I wouldn't have, like.
Like, diet to not gain weight?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, if I went out and ate some, actually, I wouldn't even eat pasta. Like, I wouldn't even eat things that, like. Mm-hmm. You know, were not with my alkaline diet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. So, or I have like green juices for like 3 days.
But that's before pregnancy.
Before.
Okay.
So then during my pregnancy, I was craving everything like
meat,
carbs, meat, burgers, all kinds of things. And I was honoring my cravings.
Great. Like, yeah. So you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, the baby wants pasta again. Okay. Yeah. So I was eating without any, like, any restrictions, right? And, yeah, I mean, you're going to gain weight when you're pregnant. And my goal wasn't to be, like, skinny pregnant. I wanted to be healthy. And the most healthy lesson I think I learned during that was to never deprive myself of things that I really enjoy. Because I was, you know, and I think everything in moderation is important, you know? So I would eat the pasta in moderation. And really enjoy it. And I was like, God, this is so good. Like, why have I not been eating this before? I would eat pasta, like, in Europe. Or, like, if I went to, like, different countries.
Yeah.
Just some of the food in America is just processed.
Yeah. What about now? Do you continue eating pasta? So, or you, like, very alkaline?
Yeah. No. So, now I'm a balanced, you know. Okay. I think everything in moderation. So, my lesson in being pregnant... In pregnancy, I'm like talking like broken English, like you guys now. I'm like,
my lesson, welcome to our my lesson level.
My lesson in pregnancy, because I have my parents don't speak English very well. So like when I speak to my mom, I speak to broken English. But she's like, I understand you. Just speak to me like normal. I'm like, okay. I'm just reflecting back how you speak. I'm matching your. They're gonna think is she illiterate? Like what's wrong with her? Why is she talking like that?
I'm crying.
Why am I talking like you guys? Oh my God. It's okay, cute.
You can talk normal and I talk broken English.
I'm trying to. Yeah. So yes, my lesson in being pregnant and how I eat now is for sure different. Like now I enjoy and I don't feel guilty. Mm-hmm. So I would feel guilty after, you know, and like pretty much starve myself for like 3 days after to like balance out, you know, the small amount of probably something I ate. So now, yeah, I enjoy the pasta. I enjoy a glass of wine here and there. I enjoy, you know, just things that aren't alkaline always, you know, but I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't beat myself up or I don't judge myself anymore. Yeah. I think that's what a big thing. I was judging myself like, oh, I ate the pasta. Like you shouldn't have had that. But now I think you do yourself more harm By judging yourself.
It does more to your brain than 100%. Actually eating pasta and just forget about it. Yeah
just enjoy it. Yeah. I think everything in moderation, obviously, you know, and finding balance, you know, so.
And what about in terms of snapping back, which is terrible, terrible term, right? Mm-hmm. But after pregnancy, what do you feel is the most important for you to do to kind of not
get back into shape, you think, or?
Kind of, but also not to rush yourself too much. Mm-hmm. So what is like the middle?
I chose to rest. I rested. Because I work out for a living, right?
Bravo, yeah.
This was my only time ever in my life to be okay being, you know, whatever that word is, you know, because every body type is different. But, you know, softer. Especially living in LA, you're around women that look like you all day. It's like not that we're comparing each other,
what do you
but
mean? I'm around women who look like you. What
stop
you,
it. But what you know, you know, you're hardening yourself, and also I put a lot of pressure on myself to maintain a certain strength look. You know, like, and I'm not striving to be like skinny, but just healthy. You know,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is the only time I'm ever going to be able to like cheat away at being like a little fluffier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fluffier.
Fluffier is a good one, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I honestly, I gave myself that chance to rest. I did a lot of swimming.
Nice.
Swimming felt really good.
In Chicago?
I recovered mostly in Malibu, then I moved to Chicago in April.
Oh, you had a baby here?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had the baby here.
Where?
At Cedars.
You did? Me
too. Yeah, doctor.
You too?
Me too.
You too? All
yeah.
of us?
Yeah.
I brought my own, well, my doctor I've had for like 10 years.
Who?
Dr. Hakaka, Michelle. Okay. She's an angel. So wow. I've had her for like even more than 10 years, since 2016. Oh, so like, no, not even 10 years. I can't even do math today. She is my gynecologist, OBGYN, for the past like 7 years. And she's the head delivery.
In Cedars.
At Cedars. Mm-hmm. I was like, perfect. So I've known her forever. She was literally like on her phone texting while I was delivering. I was like, Michelle, focus. I was like, get over here. But I did Cedars and it was during COVID, like towards the end. So I couldn't have anybody really in the room. So
you couldn't have your partner?
My partner was in the room.
He was, okay.
And my sister came for a little bit. She flew in from Toronto. So she was there.
So you couldn't have like doula?
Doula, yeah. It was a choice either between my sister or doula. And I was
Did you have to wear a mask? Because I gave birth to my son a little bit earlier than you and they asked me to wear a mask.
You were during the thick of it, yeah.
And I was like, guys, like seriously? Yeah. I can't even breathe without the mask.
No, that's crazy. During yeah. like during labor?
Yeah. During delivery, I had to wear a mask.
While you're like pushing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The whole time you're there?
I teared it away and I didn't care. I was like, if they want, they can put it back on me. But I
Wait,
need
the
to
whole
breathe.
Time you're there, you had to
yeah.
wear a mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in labor for like 24 hours.
All my pictures yeah. from that room is in a mask. Yeah,
oh my it's God, like, babe. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
It was horrible. But at least Brian could be with me in a room because yeah. I heard before moms were not allowed to even bring their husbands in a room.
That's crazy.
That's
I'm
terrible.
Like, look how it is now. Like, mm-hmm. look, obviously it was fair. Terrible, but like, look at like, it's just like people are going to get it.
People you know? Get COVID like every day.
Yeah. And it takes two people.
I have it right now.
It takes two people to create a human being. Why I'm the only one being in a room, you know?
So sad.
It's like their baby too. Like it's so weird.
Yeah.
They just tested me for COVID, but I didn't have to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. How was your delivery?
Wild.
You can detailly tell us.
In detail?
Yeah.
Yeah, as much as you want.
Sure. Well, originally,
if you want.
Yeah, no, I love telling this.
Yeah.
It's amazing what our bodies do.
Yeah.
I love
God,
it.
That's
like,
the only one I hear.
I honestly I would have a baby. I would have like 10 more babies if I could. Like, I loved it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because I like delivery. Yeah.
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 Delivery, I'm not going to lie. It's crazy. Like, the hormones, like, it makes
She's
you
like,
forget.
Maybe not delivery.
It makes you forget how crazy it is. I didn't have a bad delivery, but it's just, it's animalistic. It's wild.
Very,
And I'm sure a lot of your friends and our friends that we share friends, like, had a lot of home births too.
Yeah.
So I was lucky. I used a lot of precautions. I had a doula, Carson. Do you know Carson Myers?
No.
No, I feel like you would know her. Okay. She's an incredible doula in LA. Like, she's like worked with so many people, I'm sure that you know. And so I didn't have her in the room and we didn't work like, we worked more remotely because it was COVID too. So we had like an online like course like every Wednesday. It was my favorite like day of the week. It was like all moms get
Something
together.
To look forward to.
Yeah. And it was a fun community of moms and everyone is in different levels of like where their, you know, chapters were. So during the hospital visit, I mean, during the hospital, rewind. During.
You went to the hospital.
Rewind, I'm like, it's Friday. I need a cocktail.
I know, right?
So during the doula courses, like, I learned so much about how to advocate for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And
how to not to get abused in American hospitals.
Exactly. Okay. Abused. You're aggressive.
It is abuse.
Yeah.
I'm Russian.
Yeah, no, the Russian came out. Yeah.
In Belarus, we say it how it is. It's an abuse.
Yeah. It's abuse. It's taken advantage of.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
So I think what's the most, like, if I give advice to like new moms, like, choose someone that you trust working with. Like, I trust Michelle. That's my OBGYN. So anything she would tell me, I chose her and I followed through. So, you know, I'm not sure if everyone has a kind of a similar story, but where the baby's getting too big.
Yeah.
And they want to like, you know, schedule you
Induction.
An induction, thank mm-hmm. you. And from all of like, you know, the course I was taking and, you know, one of the biggest like outtakes was like, people do this all over the world naturally with nothing. Like you're in Africa and you're giving birth. Like yeah. there's no like epidural or like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like when the baby's ready, the baby's ready. And I truly believed that. Like I wasn't in a rush. I loved having him in my belly. So when she's like, okay, we might have to induce you. I was already a week late, you know? And I was
so
like,
you're 42 weeks at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 41.
Is 41.
It 40 weeks?
Is it
he
40?
Was due December 3rd and I went in December 9th.
It's 40?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. My baby's born at 42 weeks, so I don't
you're,
know.
Yeah, you're like natural. I love that. So she scared me a little bit where she's like, okay, if you wait any longer, I don't want to have to cut you open. And I was like, all right, I'll be there in 25 minutes.
Really?
On my way.
Was yeah. she worried the baby's getting too big?
She was getting big.
Yeah.
And you know, you just...
Was he big or not?
He was big. He was 8.2.
Mine was 9.7.
Jesus.
But I was huge. I gained 65 pounds.
Me too.
You too?
Yeah, 65. On the dot.
Wait,
how
the
did you have a 9 point natural?
Natural, yeah, yeah.
Girl, you are a queen.
My doctor was like, do you want to do C-section? I'm like, no, there's no way. Unless there's like life.
She's like, no, no way.
I was very scared of C-section.
Yeah. I think I need to interview you now. I'm like, wait, so how long were you in labor for?
Long, 24 hours.
Okay. How long did you push for?
30 minutes.
That's it? With a 9.6 ounce baby?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I love it. I love this.
But
this
you is, have a big baby too.
Yeah.
It's big.
But
yeah.
your baby was a pound and a half bigger than mine.
She was pretty big.
You're tiny.
His head was, yeah.
He was
head,
huge. Yeah. I will never forget when he came out. I looked at his feet. He had the big feet. Like big puffy feet. I was like, I guess that's where all his weight is in. Because he's skinny and long.
It's so cute. I love it. Do you want more kids?
Yeah. Second yeah. one for sure.
Yeah.
I just don't know when.
Yeah.
What about you?
Not sure.
Not sure.
I want to give Kai a sibling and mm-hmm. I want another kid. I froze my eggs too back in like 2018, 2017.
Oh, you're ahead of game. Wow.
I am. Oh, yeah. I just don't know where they are. I got to find them. I never used them.
How long did it last? I think it only lasts 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
exactly.
you're done. You have yeah. to redo it.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. So 2018, it's not yeah. like 5 years to like okay. figure out what I'm going to do with my life. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So
I think you have pretty good setup. You yeah. have it figured out.
Well, we did ours naturally.
Yeah.
You know, so my eggs are ready to rumble. mm-hmm. They're ready. Yeah. So I get to the hospital and I went into labor on the way there.
Stop.
That's perfect. Oh my God. I'm so happy for you.
Me too.
I'm so happy for you. It's so much better.
Mm-hmm. I know. I wanted to be induced, but I learned that you have to surrender. You can't control situations. Yeah. I wanted to do what's best for the baby.
Yeah, of course.
The baby's health. I trusted my doctor. Oh, I fought with her. I got in a fight with her, my sister, the dad. I was like, we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like sitting in my room, like protesting. And I was like, okay, we're going. So I think I got to finally relax when I got into the car.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were driving down PCH.
So your water broke?
They had to break it at the hospital.
They had to break it.
Yeah, I didn't have like that fairy tale water break story. But I went into contractions quick. It was like I felt something and I was like, I feel like cramp. And then from there, it was like by the time I got to Cedars, you know, it was like a 35-minute drive. I was like, every minute or whatever the count was, you know, they make you count.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
did you have the app? Where I was like counting on the app.
No, I didn't have the app.
Yeah.
No. I didn't, you know what it is? I didn't want to get too obsessed over monitoring everything.
Yeah.
Because I would get like that. I probably would time it. He probably would have too. So if I get too obsessed with like monitoring everything, then I probably would have like stopped some of the labor because I'm like, overthinking it.
Overthinking. You know? It's in your head and it's not in your body anymore.
Yeah. Like, oh, that was 5 minutes. Oh, that one's three. That one's eight. Like, mm-hmm. oh no, you know? So I just kind of let it flow, literally.
I just monitor mine because doctor said you just like go to hospital when they become consistent.
Closer, consistent.
So it's like, I just kept it on and it just, all I had to do was like to click the button when it's on, when it's off. And it's like at the end, like every few minutes, like I would like check and see. And yeah, it was insane.
But anyways, it's wild.
I'm so bad with technology. I couldn't figure out. I'm like, is this contraction or it just hurts or like it's my belly weight? Like I didn't know. I was just like,
you're too cute. You're too cute. But everyone has their own like journey and story,
you
know?
Yeah.
So yeah,
well, you get to the hospital.
And you know, we had to wait for our room. So I was like, mm-hmm. you're rushing me over here, but then you're telling me to wait. So
yeah.
I waited. Our room was beautiful. Like, the window was overseeing the hills.
It's pretty there.
It's so
pretty, I know.
So it's like
the maybe we have the same room.
We have the same room.
It sounds exactly like it was like
the sun.
They all
the
have
mountain.
That like amazing sunset.
We're lucky.
Red.
The sunrise was red. The
sunrise was red.
The horizon was beautiful.
Like, oh my sunset.
And I gave birth at 8 a.m. So yeah. It was like the sun was coming up, you know? So I was like, it's magical. Like, I'm so lucky right now.
Wow.
So I get to the hospital and, you know, I was going into this whole labor, like, I'm not going to do epidural. I'm going to do this natural. I want to feel the whole thing. I got in there and I was like, bring the epidural yes. on. You don't
That's
get
like
a trophy.
Me.
Okay. Yeah. But however, I will say, I think it definitely kind of, it helps. I don't even know how girls do it without. Like, God bless
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah.
Did you do epidural? God bless you.
One I did,
you
one I didn't.
You are a queen and an animal.
I was an screaming animal. Like an animal. That's what I was laughing when you said that.
You're an animal.
Yeah. I turned my head and Brian is like, I'm like, why are you laughing? It's not funny. He's like, you screaming like an animal. It's hilarious. I was like, ah!
I heard that. Like, that's, I never witnessed it live, like any of my friends, but from the doula class, they're like, mm-hmm. anything that just makes you feel like good, but it's animalistic.
It's even, like deep voice, is. You know? It's like from inside.
A little demon came out of you.
Like, you know?
What kind of animal were you?
I ask Brian. He'll tell you.
I kept on saying sorry to everyone all the time about everything. I thought I'm
you're
too
so
loud.
Sweet.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh my God, you're so sweet.
And they're so used to it. Just
wasn't
like,
the team amazing there though? I've
so
heard
amazing.
All
yeah,
kinds of great. Reviews. I had a great experience.
Great.
Not gonna lie.
See, there was great.
I thought it was great too. Mm-hmm. I've heard mixed. So I think we got lucky, all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
The nurses were so calming. They were so
mm-hmm.
supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had epidural. So obviously that like kind of slowed down, I think, a little labor. And they, I started getting really intense contractions. But I wasn't dilating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like he was ready to roll and come out. But I wasn't dilating. So they had to like kind of do a few different maneuvers to like, get me to dilate, and that was super painful and
scary.
They put
potassium on you?
They put a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but they had to do this like
sweeping.
No, not the sweeping. Girl, it was so funny.
What?
The sweeping happens before labor, before you're in, before your water breaks, right?
If you're not dilating, sometimes they just whip it and then like opens.
They
yeah.
may have done that actually. Mm. Who knows?
It's uncomfortable, but you just like a finger.
They did something
in there.
Even worse. They did like it was so painful. They took like I think it's like a balloon,
and they
put it up you, and then when the balloon kind of like
opens
up, and then it comes mm-hmm. out, and then you dilate. You know.
Oh wow!
So I had to take that route.
Was it painful, uncomfortable?
It was so uncomfortable. Oh, and like, I have a really high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
But things that go on down there, I was like, ah, like everything just kind of like freaked me out.
And
you
it's
know?
New.
And it's new.
Yeah.
And I mean, okay, so I was opposite of you. You're like nice and saying sorry. I learned so much from not that I'm ever mean, like I'm always kind, but I learned so much through my course that I asked a million questions. I was like, is that going to give me an infection? How much Pitocin? Can you slow it down? I don't feel like this is like necessary. Can you give me a minute? Like, I remember Marcus and my sister were like, oh God, here she goes. But I was like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you really need to do that? But I think it helped like, you know, smooth along the process. And I probably avoided, you know, a lot of meds and a lot of unnecessary medications mm-hmm. and like potentially a C-section even by being super knowledgeable, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, like you said, in your country that we are, what'd you say?
Abused by the
abused.
System. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's true. I love that. We're abused. I don't want to be abused.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think it's true, you know? And I was watching the direction of how things were going and I was like, we're not going
They just
there.
Wanted to get it done, you know?
Yeah.
They wanted you to open
yeah.
up, mm-hmm. get
yeah.
the baby anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a business transaction
yeah.
almost, I feel like. Because they have so many moms coming in
waiting,
all the time.
Yeah.
So they just,
you're like a number. Like, okay,
yeah.
next. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like that there, though. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to feel like, very rigid and like mm-hmm. cold, but it felt amazing. The only part, okay, so then heart rate was going up crazy. I wasn't dilating. And then like something happened where he like his heart, I don't know if this ever happened to you.
It happened to my second baby, yeah.
Dropped really quick. Yeah, dropped.
It's because he had the cord,
is it the cord?
Right?
Is that mm-hmm. what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they had to like flip me over, like on all fours, on the side. I was like bawling. I was so scared. These are those moments where I was like, I never want to have a baby ever again. Because you don't even think about it. Like, your life is at danger. Your child's life is in danger. You're making executive decisions for like 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. But you are in a hospital though. So you probably felt a little bit more
safe. Comfortable. Of course. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. if you're at home, God bless. Like, it's so scary, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was scary.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, I never want to do this ever again.
Yeah.
That part scared me the most, you know? And then finally, I actually took a nap at some point.
You did?
I love my sleep.
Oh my God.
I felt really nauseous from the epidural, I think, because I'm pretty pure as far as like when I put my body. So I think that like that really like, I was so nauseous. So they gave me some anti-nausea medicine. They're like, look, they're like, you're going to need to rest because you're about to push. Mm-hmm. Like in the next few hours, you're going to need all of your energy.
Yeah.
So I took a nap. Everyone took a nap. And I just felt like at 6 a.m. Like
you need to poo.
You know what's funny? I didn't feel like that. No. Everyone says you need to feel like, no. Did you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
I just felt pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I felt pressure. I like felt him like moving down, like
amazing.
Called laboring down. Mm-hmm. But amazing. I didn't feel that like the poop thing. Oh, yeah. No, everyone's different. Like I felt
you feel like it, but you don't really need to poop.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't feel that feeling. I just felt like something needed to just like release, but not in the poop way.
Yeah,
girls don't poop, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
No one.
Yeah.
Here.
So I don't know what that feels like. So I don't even know. I was like, I like hit my buzzer because everyone was sleeping. My partner was sleeping. My sister was sleeping.
We're like, wake up, everybody! I was like pushing the nurse
button. I didn't want to wake them up because I was like, I didn't know what was going on, but I was like, it's happening, and the sunset was coming out. It was so beautiful.
Wow.
So yeah, it was like kind of like a party. Like once like I pushed the button, nurse came in. I woke up. You know, Marcus and my sister. He was playing music. He was playing Drake. I was like, yes, this is it. We're just like hanging out. It was like super chill.
Yeah. See, there's this hang out. Like
my doctor was like texting her daughter, like a driver. I was like, yo, focus on me right now. It was cool. Like it was actually not cool. Mm-hmm. It was very like relaxed and calming, mm-hmm. you know, but then I got stuck for an hour and 45 minutes pushing.
Why?
I don't know. Everyone thought like, oh, you're Pilates queen. You're going to like push the baby out. I think
it doesn't matter.
I think my pelvic floor was too tight.
Wow.
From doing all the
kegels.
Just being like having my trans or abdominal so tight, you know, from doing mm-hmm. Pilates forever. I actually worked with a pelvic floor specialist prior to going to the hospital, prior to like delivery mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, you need to do the opposite. You need to release. And I was like, I don't know how to do that.
Relax, yeah.
So I pushed for an hour and 45 minutes. And I turned the epidural off before the pushing.
And then you felt a lot.
Oh, yeah. I felt what you felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel the ring of fire when the head
I felt the ring of fire for like an hour and a half. His head, his poor little head. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. And then so my sister, bless her heart,
was his head like cone head?
Yeah, she was at the bottom. Marcus wasn't allowed to go down there. We made a decision like together.
Yeah.
My sister's so sweet. She was like, oh, he has so much hair. Oh, and I was like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. I need someone in here that's going to like inspire me to push this baby out. So she's so cute though. So she's doing that. Marcus is like taking photos with his
his
camera. But the most beautiful photos. Nothing like here, mm-hmm. sideways.
Just like sideways baby coming
out. And actually, and like during it, so I was like trying to be cute and like trying to like, you know, push this baby out.
You're like,
I like that you're still thinking about it.
I know. I was like, oh, they'll be there forever. But then towards like that hour ring of fire mark, I was like, no one's being cute right now.
Yeah.
No. Oh my gosh.
I couldn't go through.
So horrible.
I couldn't go through another contraction. I don't know how you like.
It's just the last moments, and you feel like it's never gonna finish, and then it just comes.
I do. I felt like I was never gonna. I was like, I felt like I was stuck.
It was stuck.
Oh, this is the funny part. Of course, I did this. So, you know, you push 10, right? 10 breaths. Is that how you? Do you remember like how you?
I pushed three
breaths.
Yeah.
Okay, so my doctor had me do, I think, 8 or 10. She's like,
that's a long breath.
It's a long breath, right? And then you rest, then you wait for the next contraction, you push out 10.
10?
I was like, let me remix this. I'm like,
how do you not pass out from 10?
That's what I'm saying. I was like, I can give you a good 5.
Yeah.
Instead of like 10 week. And because we got to the point where I was like, oh my God, like it's been like so long. What am I going to do? And so I gave like, let me try my way. And she's okay, whatever you think will help, you know? So I did that. And like, within a few minutes, like we got the baby
I had a similar situation where they would be like, okay, now you push. But I never pressed the epidural. So the first dose they gave me at 11 a.m., I delivered at 6 p.m. So like 7 hours later. So I felt
that's everything. Incredible. Yeah. Oh, so you didn't have it like fully like.
No, I didn't have full, like, I guess I didn't even know I could press the button.
I didn't know there was a button.
I didn't know there was a button either.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Press 3 times.
You can, like,
so you didn't have
you
it
can, like,
then.
Administer your own epidural.
Yeah. So first thing
that's
they
crazy.
Inject you, but then you can press the button 3 more times.
I didn't know that.
I guess they don't tell anyone then.
No.
It's weird.
That's so, maybe they told me that I just like wasn't paying attention because there's so much going on.
So much going on.
But so I was like guiding them too. I was like, no, you guys are too late. Like I have to push faster and like.
Just that's like, amazing that you went from like 11 a.m. and you pushed at 7 p.m. Like, that's
6 p.m.
So, did you stay that night and then another night, or did you stay just that one night?
We had to stay 3 nights.
Okay.
So, after second night, doctors came and he's like, well, because your baby is really big, we want to make sure he doesn't have diabetes or something. And I knew in my heart he doesn't have, none of us have any history of diabetes in our family.
Big baby.
I mean, you guys also worried. Tall and big. Like, obviously, your baby is going to be big.
It's just runs in the family. It's just
I gained
genetics.
A lot of weight too when I was pregnant too. So my baby was definitely big. I don't know if it are they big because we're big. Like,
I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. No. But I know I was a big baby when I was born.
I was big. I was my mom had an emergency C-section. I was like 10 pounds. I was huge.
10 pounds? Wow.
Mm-hmm. For a girl, that's really big.
Yeah. Wow. Huge. My poor mom. I was 2 weeks late. Yeah.
But then like your most happiest moment in your life, the baby's born.
It's crazy how people say like, you can't describe it. It's like your life.
So much.
Now I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, everything's been incredible. Like, yes, that moment when they like, oh, like it makes me want to cry even like thinking about it, you know? But yeah, just having him in your arms and he was staring at me and I just like fell. Oh my God, like unconditional love.
You're like, how did you greet
He's
my
so
belly?
Cute.
That's the craziest thing. I still am like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And amazing, incredible. But like, God is so incredible. Like you, we are like, we're not normal.
No.
So.
Animals.
Yeah, that moment is like, you can't even like describe how beautiful that moment is and how pure it is.
So. You think it changed you as a woman?
100%.
Yeah.
100% changed me. Yeah.
You think it made you more like calm or grounded? Like, what
100%.
Was it for you?
Yeah. Calm for sure, grounded, patient.
Patient.
Also, just like
cutting BS out of your life, right?
Cutting all the BS, you know, like he's my priority. Like, so, like, just how much like things didn't matter before. Like, all the stuff that we would like stress out about or like, you know, it's just like nothing really matters. Like the baby, your life, your family is like your priority. So
the food you cook for him, I'm like, oh my God,
Girl,
want that.
He's going through a phase. Right now he's on like a pasta phase. It's so boring. Yeah.
Oh, the pasta phase never finishes.
Okay.
Once it starts, it keeps going. Yeah. Because
pasta phase. He used to eat everything. His palate was so like creative. Now he's like pasta, avocado toast. Yeah.
You know what? It's fine. Make him soup.
It's a phase.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once
I love
day.
Cooking for him.
I know.
I
you're cooking.
I love
like,
it.
Wow.
It's such a treat. Like, I guess it's like, it's domesticated me as well too. Being a mom is like, I'd always kind of like be out for dinners with my girlfriends and like, you know, living alone to cook for yourself, it's kind of boring
it's
and that's
weird,
wasteful, you know? So I get to like do all the things I wanted to do. He's like my little man.
Do you guys sleep together?
Yes. We
in same bed?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. We snuggle. Every morning he wakes up and he like, he pokes his little head up and I'm always like trying to like see what he's going to do. And He gives me a kiss on my forehead. He's such a little sweet lover. Yeah. It's the best. Yeah.
And you have a support. You have a nanny that's your newly single.
I don't have a nanny right now.
You don't have a nanny right now?
No.
He's alone at home?
I just left him in the crib. Is that okay? Should I check my camera?
Check your camera. It's been an hour.
I gotta go. He's up. I'm dead.
I was watching him.
He's super independent.
He's a big boy now.
I've really trained him to just like be super self-sufficient. He's good. He takes care of me. No, I had a nanny for a while and she was super helpful as far as like we travel for me to go to work, but we parted ways almost a month ago, like 3 weeks, almost a month now. And it's definitely challenging because I work as well and I'm trying to I'm growing, you know, the business and I do teach and full time. And Kai is like, he's a little tiger. He's like, he's not a chill baby. He's a good baby. He's like, I'm actually like so lucky, knock on wood, but he's like nonstop. And all I want to do is like stimulate him all day. So I'm trying to find my balance. I'm definitely looking for a nanny if you know anybody.
We'll put it
yeah.
on the bottom. Yeah. I'm
interviewing a lot. But you know, I actually, having spent this time with him, I've been like, I know I can't do it alone, you know, but I really like enjoy every second of this mm-hmm. like chapter. So I think when I do find a nanny next, I'm going to find someone just part-time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
like 9 to 2 or something.
Yeah. When you find that home. Window. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because his nap just changed to like 1 o'clock, 1:30 now.
It's the best when it changes.
Yeah.
You have so much time to do your things.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the day. Yeah.
If they sleep much.
If they sleep. Yeah. He doesn't sleep much.
No.
He goes through phases. They're always changing. 1 week, mm-hmm. he was sleeping like 2.5 hours, 3 hours. I was I was actually getting bored. I was like, wake up.
Yeah.
And then lately, he'll like 1.5 hours, you know.
And that's short. Yeah.
Yeah, it's short. But he sleeps like 12 hours a night.
Oh, so you get to chill.
Oh, I get to chill. Yeah, he sleeps from like 8 to 8. It's amazing. And I usually go to bed when he goes to bed.
8?
Yeah, it's 8 to 8.
That's incredible.
Yeah. 8 to 7, 8 to 8. Yeah.
My boy goes to sleep usually around 9, 10. Wakes up 6, 7.
More like 9. Like we wind down around mm-hmm. 8. Like the bath.
You go to bed 10.
Chill.
8, sorry. You go to bed 8 and he falls asleep at 9. Right?
Yeah, that's same. Usually. We wind down around 8. And then I think most kids these days go to bed at like 9, 10. I'm so glad you said that because I'm in a lot of mom groups too, like the classes and everything.
Yeah.
And all of these kids like are like 9 o'clock bedtime. I'm like, okay, I didn't feel like a freak because mm-hmm. like
no.
with our schedule when I lived in Chicago,
you
know, Marcus had games till like 9:30 or 10. So Kai would be up waiting for dad to get home. Aww. And then we would go to bed at like 10 or 11. But then like, I think it's healthy to create your own rules.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
And when it was like 7 to 7, it's like, I don't know. I kind of want to hang out with him still. He's fun.
Evening is the most fun, you know? Yeah. It's chill. So you can take a shower together and mm-hmm. read
the books. Yeah, the books. Yeah. He loves books. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for joining us.
God, thank you for
having us. We had a great time. And
thank you.
Congrats. Thank on everything. So the business, the baby.
Congrats to you ladies. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. And what's next for you?
Oh my God, so many exciting things. I don't want to jinx it.
Don't.
I never speak in advance, but I'm working on something super exciting that's still in a very early stage. So I don't want to like put it out there yet.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's something I started working on before COVID and we paused and now we're picking it back up.
Okay.
That's coming out. And then it's kind of like a little outside of fitness too.
Oh,
it's
really nice.
Different. Yeah.
Okay.
And then also the New York location, like I pray, like we find something like that we love because location to me is everything. Mm-hmm. So New York is happening soon. We have our athleisure line coming out next year.
Nice.
Amazing.
And just staying healthy and happy.
Well,
that's what's
coming
up next. Good
luck with everything.
Good luck.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, babe.
Thank you.
Thank you.